Well, if a man had any preach in him, he ought to be able to preach after that. Amen. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And in just a few minutes, I want to bring a message that I call the ABCs of Faith Promise Giving. The ABCs of Faith Promise Giving. I learned about this in 1968, Marquette Manor Baptist Church in Chicago, Illinois. And when I learned about the mission giving through Faith Promise Giving, it opened up a whole new life for me. And many of you are already involved, and thank God for that. Many of you are new. But in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 6, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Some of you have been seated for a while. Would you like to stand for the reading of God's word tonight? And then we'll have a word of prayer and get into the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, love verse 8, look at it. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency, in all things may abound to every good work. Dear Lord, you have promised in your word, when my word goes forth, it shall not return to me void. We've claimed that promise literally thousands of times. So as best I know how tonight, dear Lord, I'd like to preach your word about this subject. Again, speak to each of our hearts. And dear Lord, whatever you do tonight or any time in our life, we'll be more than happy to bend our knees and bow our heads and give you all the honor and all the glory, for only you deserve it. Now speak to hearts tonight through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Between now and Sunday, I hope that every one of you will read the two chapters, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. When you do that, you will find that the subject of both of these chapters, the entire chapters, is an offering. Now, this offering was not for the church at Corinth. It was to be given through the church at Corinth, but the offering was going to other places other than Corinth. And when we think about giving an offering for something other than our own church and our church area, then immediately we think of the word missions. So 2 Corinthians is all about missionary giving. Paul is urging the church at Corinth to take up an offering for the poor saints back in Jerusalem. And so tonight let's think about faith promise giving and the ABCs. Let me begin by saying this. Faith promise is not a commandment in the Bible. You say, all right, if it's not a commandment, then why worry about it? Well, look at chapter 8 and verse 8, okay? Paul said, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion and the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. So Paul is saying, this is not a commandment, not something you have to do. Then why are you spending two chapters on it? Well, number one, I want you to see what others are doing. And the others he's talking about is those churches back in Macedonia, and they were poor churches. They were going through great persecution. They had deep poverty, but they were giving liberally. So he said, look what others are doing. And then he said, to prove the sincerity of your love. It's not something you have to do. But when you get your faith promise commitment card on Sunday morning, and you look at that and you pray about it, and you be praying about it until then, okay? From now, okay? you're praying about it, then what you put on that card is going to prove the sincerity of your love for a lost and dying world. Look at one other verse. Look at verse 10. Again, not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. And here and I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun not only to do, but also to be forward to your God. You know what Paul is saying? You don't have to give the faith promise, but let me give you some advice. By the way, it's advice from the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. So it's good advice. He said, this is good for you. Giving the faith promise is good for you. Now, sure, it's good for the missionary. Sure, it's good for the heathen that'll hear the gospel. But even more than that, it's good for you. I learned about it in 1968. It has been a great blessing to me, and I've preached it all over the world. Now, with this in mind, look at verse 6 again. Now, remember, all of chapter 8, all of chapter 9, Paul is speaking about a missionary offering. And he makes this statement. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, Paul's been talking about giving and receiving missionary offering, okay? Then he gets to verse 6 in this verse, and he starts talking about sowing and reaping. Now, what's happened to Paul? Has he done like we as Baptist preachers do and get off on some rabbit trail? I never will forget preaching in West Virginia many years ago. And I got involved in the illustration. Yeah, it must have been a good one. It went on and on. And when I got through with that illustration, I had no idea what I was illustrating. And I had to ask one of the missionaries sitting on the front seat, now, do either of you know where I was in my sermon? That was embarrassing, brother. Is that what's happened to Paul? No. In verse 6, he is giving us an analogy. And what he's saying is, sowing and reaping is like giving and receiving. Or giving and receiving is like sowing and reaping. So let me give you four simple principles of sowing and reaping. And by the way, I will not boggle your mind with my knowledge of agriculture. I have very little. Here are the four principles. Principle number one, you reap what you sow. Principle number two, you reap more than you sow. Principle number three, you reap in proportion as you sow. Principle number four, you reap after you sow. By the way, all four of these principles apply to giving the faith promise. Number one, you reap what you sow. Let's all be real honest with God tonight. If most of us will be real honest, we spend most of our time, most of our talent, and most of our treasures on earthly, materialistic things. Guess what we're going to reap? Earthly, materialistic things. And if we want to have any rewards in heaven, any rewards for eternity, then we're going to have to start using our time, our talent, and our treasures for spiritual, eternal things. Amen. Jesus put it this way. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, with these break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust is corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Think about that. Jesus said, don't get too heavily involved in earthly, temporal thing. Why? It's temporary. Anything I call mine, my clothes, my house, my automobile, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Anything bad can happen to it. I buy a new suit. First thing you know, the suit has shrunk. Or I have expanded. Same thing with the dress. Amen. Buy a new automobile. Rust. And then thieves can steal anything from you. And by the way, they don't have to break in your house today. All they have to do is steal your identity. And they can steal you blind. So anything that I call mine, anything I call mine, one day it will not be mine. Anything bad can happen to it. And then one day when Jesus comes, I won't take any of it with me. Every time anybody of any wealth dies, somebody invariably asks, I wonder how much they left. And the answer is always the same. They left it all. By the way, wherever there's a will, there's a lot of relatives. Amen. So Jesus said, don't get too heavily involved in earthly, temporal things. He's not saying you're not supposed to have anything, no. But just get your priorities right. Don't get too heavily involved in earthly, temporal things. But get heavily involved in spiritual, eternal things. Why? Because nothing can happen there. One life to live will soon be passed. And it's only what's done for Christ that will last. So we reap what we sow. Number two, we reap more than we sow. By the way, when you're given a faith promise, it's like sowing. Now, a lot of people have the idea, well, the more I give, the less I'll have. Wait a minute. You're sowing a seed. And the more you sow, the more you're going to reap. For instance, take one little grain of corn. And you can take that grain of corn, you can lay it up somewhere, and 50 years from now, it'll be one grain of corn. But you plant that grain of corn. And the first thing that happens to it is, it dies. But in the process of dying, it produces a stalk of corn. And that stalk of corn will have at least two ears of corn. And each of those ears of corn will have about 750 grains of corn. Now, that's in Kentucky. Might not be quite that good in Texas. I'm not sure. Now, think about it. One grain of corn planted in one growing season has been responsible for producing 1,500 grains of corn. Let me give you a good example of what your money does on the mission field. Okay. Virginia and Renee and Tim and I went to Japan in 1965. After I'd been there 9 months, I tried to preach a sermon in Japanese. And I thought I had it all together. I was going to read it, basically. But it was the biggest mess I've ever heard in my whole life. And I got through that night. And one of the Christians prayed, "Dear Lord, we love Brother Sitch, but we didn't understand anything he said." So I began praying that God would give me a good Bible, a good interpreter. Now, I was still studying the language. And about a year and a half, after I'd been there a year and a half, I started preaching in Japanese all the time. But if you go to Japan, don't try to preach after 9 months, okay? I began to pray for an interpreter. We went to a Christmas party, latter part of 1965, in Kobe, Japan. Virginia was sitting here. Next to her was a Japanese young man. And he was speaking nearly perfect English. And I said, I found out his name, Keita Takagi. I said, Keita, where'd you learn English so well? And he told me about learning English. But he said, I went to Pennsylvania to a college. He said, while I was there, I was working in a hospital. And one of the nurses said to me, Keita, I'm going to a camp in a few weeks. They have baseball. They have swimming. They have hiking. They have all kinds. And she knew Japanese love all those things. And he said, I decided I'd go. He said, she didn't tell me. They have Bible study. They have preaching. They have prayer meeting. But he said, I got saved. And that was at Word of Life Camp in Scroon Lake, New York. And by the way, Jack Wurtson actually discipled that young man. And he said, I'm here until August of next year. And he said, by the way, I'd like to work with the missionary till then. Does God answer prayers or not? Now, two missionaries had told me, Brother, sis, there's none like that in Japan. I said, I know, we better pray hard, amen. And he told me about a town, Sydney Newtown, right outside of Sydney Yama. And 6 months before that time, nobody lived there. They opened up those big high-rise apartments, 80,000 people. I went out there and looked around. We decided that's where we'd start, the Sydney Newtown Baptist Church. We prayed. We had fasting. We passed out pamphlets. We did everything we could. The night of the meeting, first night, Thursday night, the little room we had rented, about 60 people could be seated. And it began to fill up. And I got so excited. But it was on the second floor, and I'd go down to the first floor, show the people where to go, so forth. There were some people down there. And this one young man came up to me. Had the pamphlet in his hand. Had my picture on one side. Brother Ogawa was on the other. And again, he spoke nearly perfect English. And he said, Mr. Sis, I want you to know I don't have any interest in Christianity. I came here tonight to practice my Japanese. I see you're speaking through an interpreter. My first thought was, I didn't come 7,000 miles so somebody could practice English. My second thought was, my Kentuckian English is nothing for anybody to practice on. So both of us in bad shape. Bottom line, he got saved that night. He and 11 other people. After he got saved, he lost all of his interest in English. All he wanted to do was go with me visiting, stay in my house, study the Bible, pray, so forth. One day he said to me, Teacher, I've got to go back and tell my mom and my brothers and sisters, my aunts and uncles, about my decision. Can you imagine a young man going home saying, hey, Mom, I got saved. God's called me to preach. That'd be good for us, amen. But it wasn't in Japan. He came to my house 3 days after that, and he looked like a dead man. I said, so, Gordo, what happened? And he, in detail, told me, for 72 hours in a row, the Buddhist priest, the mayor of the city, from a very influential home, his uncles, his aunts, his brother, his sister, his mother, tried to get him to denounce his faith in Christ. And I said to him, I said, Sugoro, I don't have any idea what you're going through, but God knows. We got on our faces before God, and I heard him say, Lord, you know I love my mother. You know I love my dad. His dad had died. You know I love my country. He's fully Japanese. Then I heard him say, Lord, I love you more than all of these. And all I could think that night was, God is making a diamond. Yes. On the first anniversary of that church, there were 139 people there. Six of them had committed their lives to be preachers. I got a text from Brother Ogawa in February. They just had their 56th anniversary, and they had 750 people there. Their offering was over $100,000. They gave 40% of it to missions. They've got 7 people on the mission field all over the world, and they're supporting missionaries all over the world. They've started 15 other churches. You say, "What? Tell me all of that." Okay. When you support a missionary, like you've got this one, Brother Smith, I called your name right tonight, okay? Brother Bennett, Brother Haley, whatever his name is, okay? Everything they do, that's put on your account. Now you think about it. All of these 56 years, all of those things that thousands of people saved, people all over the world, that put on the account of the people that supported me when I went to Japan. Could I urge you tonight? You're going to reap a whole lot more than you sow. But the third thing is, you're going to reap in proportion as you sow. The more you sow, the more you'll reap. I was pastoring in Providence, Kentucky. Virginia and I went to a little town called Diamond, about 20 miles from Providence, and I preached there. They didn't have a pastor. The moderator of the meeting said, "Now, we're going to take an offering, and all the offering will go to Brother Sis." And I was sitting on the front seat, so when they took an offering, I put in a dollar bill. Now, that was back in 1956, so that was big then, okay? I wasn't a cheapskate, okay? And after the service, they gave me an offering envelope, gave me an offering. On the way home, none of you preachers would do this. But on the way home, I said to Virginia, "Hun, let's see what the offering was." And she opened the offering envelope, and she started laughing. And I said, "Well, what's so funny?" She said, "Don, you know what's in here?" I said, "No, I don't have any idea. I'm sure I asked you." "A $1 bill." I said, "You're kidding." "No." I said, "I put that in." And she started laughing. I mean, you could not hardly stand it. And I thought, "Hun, I don't think it's that funny." And I said, "What in the world is so funny about it?" And she said, "Don, if you were to put more in, you're going to reap in proportion as you sow." The more you sow, the more you're going to reap. Then the fourth principle is, you're going to reap more than that you're going to reap after you sow. Now, a lot of people want to reap first. "Oh, if I had lots of money." No, no, no. God's not concerned about that. God's concerned about what are you going to do with what you've got in your hand now. A good friend of mine one day, he took Virginia and I to lunch, and he and I sat out and talked for a while. Virginia had gone to the motel. And he said, "Don," he said, "if I ever win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, I'm going to give a whole lot of money to missions." And I got really excited because I know a lot of people's won that, don't you? No, you don't know anybody's ever won. You know what he's saying? If I could reap first, I'd start sowing something. It don't work like that. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven. When? When you bring the tithe in. Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give you your bosom." When? When you start giving. So you reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow. You reap in proportion as you sow, you reap after you sow. Now look at verse 7. You have your Bibles open? Let's read that verse together. I'm going to start it. You help me read it. Okay, all together, okay? "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Now, just repeat after me this one, okay? You got your Bible open. Let me read it, and then you say it. "Every man." All right, once again. "Every man." Now, Paul is talking about giving to missions. It gets down to verse 7, and he says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." Now, who do you think Paul expected to give something? And all the women said, amen. But he's not talking about gender. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, parents, teach your children to give to missions. Every man according as he can figure out from his budget. Is that what your Bible says? If it is, you've got a real bad translation, amen. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. You see the fields of the world. You think about the billions that have never heard the gospel. You've been saved by the grace of God. Look over in chapter 8 and verse 9 with me for a minute. And here Paul said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he didn't say you know about the grace of God. No. You have experienced the grace of God. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, oh, how rich he was. He created the entire universe, and it all belonged to him, how rich he was. Yet for your sake, my sake, your sake, take it personally, he became poor. Nobody was ever so rich. Nobody ever became so poor as he did when he hung on cross, Calvary's cross. And all the sins of the world placed on him. That's the reason he prayed in Gethsemane. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He's not just talking about physical suffering. But every filthy sin everybody's ever committed, it was all put on him. So look at it again. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich yet for your sakes he became poor. That ye through his poverty might be rich. How rich we are tonight. Amen. Amen. Saved by the grace of God. Amen. All of our sins forgiven. Yes. Our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
What a wonderful Savior. The purposing of the giver, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. Well, I have to do something. Pastor wants me to do something. But no. Not grudging. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, he'll take it from a grouch, okay? But the grouch will lose his rewards. God loves a cheerful giver. How much should I give? And I cannot tell you that. I know widow women that are giving $5 a week. And it's a great sacrifice. I know people that are giving as much as $100,000 a year to missions. You say, why would anybody want to give that much money to mission? They want some treasures in heaven.
Amen.
See the amount. What we ought to begin praying now, getting ready for Sunday morning. Dear Lord, speak to my heart about what I should give. Now, if you're not giving, start. Start somewhere, even if it's very little. Start somewhere. If you are giving, then you ought to increase your giving every year. I've done that for 56 years. Every year for, I'm sorry, 54 years. Every year for 54 years, I've increased my faith promise giving. Paul said that. When your faith is increased, we, the missionaries, shall be able by you to preach the gospel in the region beyond. Let me give you one other thing. The principles involved, the purposing of the giver. But look at verse 8. And God is able. Don't you like that? And God is able. Now, he could say, God is able to do anything, and he'd be right because God's omnipotent, sovereign. But notice what he says. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know what Paul's saying here? When you begin to pray about what God would have you to do for missions on a regular basis, every week above your tithe and offering. You begin to pray, and God lays an amount on your heart. And you take a faith promise commitment card like you will Sunday. And you put on that faith promise card, by faith in God, I promise to give X number of dollars to mission. And then week after week, you give that. You know what Paul is saying? God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Bottom line, God will provide for you.
Amen.
Not the United States government.
Right.
Not Standard Oil. Not some company. No, God is able to give it to you so you'll have to give to others. Hey, don't shortchange yourself and don't shortchange God. God's been good to us in North America, has he not? You travel around the rest of the world, you'll appreciate what God's done for us. Now I meet Christians all over the world. So many Christians receive so much from God. He loads us daily with all his blessings. But many Christians receive from God like this. Some of you receive like that, right? But many have learned to receive like this. And guess what? That's all God needs. It's just some channels. Every once in a while, somebody say, man, wouldn't it be great if we had a lot of millionaires? It would be, okay? But God doesn't need millionaires. God can make millionaires. What God needs is some channels, some people that will receive from God, an individual, a church like Worth Baptist Church. And you just keep getting it from God, passing it on. Receive it from God, pass it on. Every man. Wouldn't it be great if Sunday morning, if every member of Worth Baptist Church would make a commitment to give something every week above the regular tithe and offering to world evangelization. What year was it when you started Faith Promise here? 2015. I think the year before they'd give $180,000 for missions. That's great. Last year, you gave $850,000 to mission. Bottom line, it works. And by the way, anybody that's given a faith promise, you are not poor for it, amen? I'm going to give you some advice. It's good for you. It's been good for me. When I started giving a faith promise, I had $500 a month support as a missionary in Japan. I'm not going to tell you how much I've got now, but it's more than $500 a month. Amen. Let's pray, Pastor.